Okay. If you will turn with me to Acts 20, and we're going to start in verse 27. To title this, it would be Receive and Give. Acts 20, verse 27. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves, and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn every one night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have shown you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than receive. That last little phrase there, and you hear it said this way, it's better to give than receive. And in an earthly sense, that makes perfect sense, because it is better to be in a position of giving than being in a position of begging, isn't it? I've been on both sides of that fence, and if I got to choose between the two, I'd rather be the one giving than the one having to receive. As 1 year in particular, we, Cheryl and I, and Sarah was quite young, we were on our way to the Feast of Tabernacles, and we scraped literally all the pennies together. We had just enough. On the way down, the axle on the front of her front-wheel drive van started messing up, and it cost us about $100 to buy a new axle. We got it en route to the feast. And we had a decision to make. Are we just going to turn around and go back home because our budget is blown? We can't make it. I'm like, no. She said no. We're going to the God's feast one way or the other. We got down there. We made it on the old axle somehow. And in the parking tower, the garage of the hotel we were staying at, I had, well, you know, I drove junkers, so I always brought tools with me. I had that axle pulled out. Kenny Llewellyn, mechanic, came walking by, and he looked at it, and he said, well, what's wrong with it? Well, it was making all the signs and all the shaking and all the popping. And he says, looks fine to me. I'd stick it back in there. And I did, and that thing drove just fine from then on. God healed my axle. Well, in the meantime, Mark had come up to me and handed me a $100 bill and said, here, enjoy the feast. I was able to give it back to him. It was good to receive that $100 because, you know, it'd be nice to eat instead of just knocking on, you know, people's door. Hey, how you doing? What's for supper? You know, but it was good to give, and it was good to receive, and it was even better to give it back, and it was more blessed to give it back than it was to receive it in the first place. And it was even more blessing to know that God healed my axle. And the old junkers I drove, I know what a broke axle sounds like. He healed it. It's more blessed, though, is the way God says it. It's more blessed to give than receive. Have you ever been hungry? Really, really hungry. Your back suing your stomach for non-support, hungry. And somebody hands you food. That's a blessing. But it's more blessing for that person giving you that food than it is for you to receive it, is what I'm getting out of this. But what do you do with it once you've received it? You say, thanks, sucker, and walk on? Or do you go on with your life and pay it forward and give to someone else later on in life? Receive and give. This little phrase here has cost me a lot of money. It really has. Because you got to be wise about who you give to. We just read that there are ravenous wolves and people among our own group that are wolves. They haven't truly received themselves yet, so they're still hungry for what you've got. And they're just there to take. They're not there to receive it, really. They're there just to take it from you. So you got to be careful who you give to. You have to. And this is what Paul is telling us. Watch. Let's go. There's a few points I want to hit before we go. Paul himself only took what he needed for his ministry and the people with him and nothing more. God's blessings are not only the physical, but the spiritual. What did Paul take? Well, he took very little, but what he gave was abundant and spiritual. He also mentions here giving to the poor and the weak. And he talks about the wolves. Let's go to Matthew 11. Let's learn a little more about this. Verses 1 through 6. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison, John the Baptist, that is, works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. And he said unto them, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. At first glance, you think, oh, John wasn't sure if Christ was the Christ or not, right? The focus at first glance is on John, but in all honesty, this has nothing to do with John. Let's go just a few verses over. Verse 10, for this is he of whom it is written, Behold, this is Christ talking about John the Baptist, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. I think John knew who Jesus was. He wasn't inquiring to find out if he was really the Christ. He knew. There's a hidden message here. There's a deeper meaning. And it's about receiving and giving. And it's not talking about axles or money in any way. Let's read 1 through 6 again. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, what did he command his 12 disciples? Let's go to Matthew 10, verse 5, and see what he was commanding his disciples. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any of the cities of the Samaritans enter ye not. It wasn't time yet. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. You can't give if you haven't received. The ravenous wolves have not received the spiritual side. Only those that are redeemed have received it truly within their hearts. Beware. Now these 12 disciples received it freely, and he's commanding them to give it freely. Let's go back now. Verse 2 of chapter 11. Now when John had heard in the prison the words of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. That's all John did. The next verse is on his two disciples, not John. And said unto him, the disciples said of John, said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? John wasn't asking, the disciples were asking. Read it carefully. And Jesus answered and said unto them, and this is really cool, go and show John what you do hear and see. Think about that. People are being raised from the dead. They're being made to see. He didn't say go back and tell John. He said go back and show John. That's pretty stout. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up. Go and show them this. Don't just tell them about it. Show them this. You all know the verse where Christ says, greater things than these you shall do. And people go, nah, I can't raise the dead. It's not talking about raising dead people specifically, though Christ did do that. That's not the commission. I'll get to that in just a minute. And the poor, okay, if we're going to follow suit with this verse, shouldn't the poor get a brand new car to drive to the feast with? I mean, the blind get their sight. Lame walk. The dead are raised up to life again. Shouldn't the poor get $1 million or at least a winning lottery ticket? No. They receive something more valuable. The gospel preached to them. You see, this is actually talking about every single one of them. Every single one of them were dead spiritually, lame spiritually, blind spiritually. Every single one of us were at some point in time in our lives. Without receiving the gospel, we are still dead, blind, lame. That gospel is the gift, and it's more valuable. In verse 6, finally, I know you've been waiting for it. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. John McCrae has a saying, and I have to say it's pretty darn good. People get offended and leave the church. They're offended with God. And they leave the church. I've been offended, but I didn't leave the church. This is God's church. I'm here for Him. I'm not here for all the drama. Care less about that. I'm here for God. These people get offended in God and leave. Now, that, I don't know that that's the only reason why people leave, but it's pretty much the time. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me, because they can't receive the truth of God if they're offended with God. And if you can't receive it, you can't share it with anyone else. Let's go to Isaiah. Book of Isaiah, chapter 35. The wilderness, and the wilderness is described here as the place we all came from, okay, without Christ. And the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that they that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. This is what Christ was referring, and John the Baptist knew these verses. This is what Christ was sending a message of. Yeah, and it's happening, is what he was telling them. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb will sing. For the wilderness shall be waters break out, and streams in the desert. I don't know that I read that right, but you get the point. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water, and the habitation of dragons or wolves, where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes, and an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. You're not just going to stumble onto it. It's going to be given to you. And you have to consciously receive, aware with knowledge, knowledgeably receive it. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Let's go back to Matthew here. So if it's talking about giving monetary things, well, that's on you if you give it to somebody that's going to waste it and thumb their nose up at you later. That's on you. But if we're talking about spiritual things, and we are, you're throwing your pearls before the swine if you're giving it to someone who doesn't want it, who won't receive it. They're offended with God. So what do you do then? You pray for them that they might be able to receive it. And whether it's you that gives it to them or not, it doesn't really matter as long as they get it. Don't give up. I guess that's what I'm getting at. Matthew 11, 21 through 24. This is why you don't want to give up. Woe unto thee. Now, verse 1 of chapter 11, we talked about how he's going into the cities of the disciples. And this is what happens. Though many works were done, woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, then would they, then they would have received long ago the sackcloth, in sackcloth and ashes, repented long ago, I'm sorry. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, which are exalted into heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee, which have been done in thee, had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. So we don't want to just give up on someone. It's important. Back to chapter 11, verse 5. The blind receive their sight. If you give a blind man his vision again, and he is a sinner, what have you done? Not a good thing, necessarily. If he doesn't receive the spiritual gift that comes with it, I mean, because he's going to use his sight to do sin with. Same with the lame, the lepers. Blessed is he who is not offended in me and is able to receive. And more blessed is he that is able to receive and then give to someone else. Thank you.